Thank you. Please do have your Bibles open on Psalm 23. So obviously we'll be looking at Psalm 23 this morning, and Psalm 23, you know, is probably a well-known passage or psalm in the whole of the Bible. Many people have memorized it. You might have memorized it. It's a comforting psalm that we're all familiar with, aren't we? You know, Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We go to Psalm 23 to find comfort when our loved one has died, or we go to Psalm 23 when we are struggling with some issues in our lives. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's like a warm soup on a cold and wet day, Psalm 23. In fact, I'm told, I was just reading, I can't remember where I was reading, that it is well known that that if you ask an average British person, he or she might be able to tell you Psalm 23, what it is all about. Maybe even able to recite. And this morning, I want us to focus our minds and our hearts at Psalm 23 and look at this God. What it means for us to have this God, this great and powerful God, this great and sovereign Lord, to have him as our shepherd, number one. Number two, and what does it mean for us to be his sheep? But before that, let's pray and ask God for his help. Father, we come before you now, as we have read from your word, a comforting psalm, Psalm 23. Father, would you come and speak to us powerfully through your living word. Father, if you don't open our hearts, our minds and our ears, Father, we can't listen. So Father, come and open our hearts, our minds and our ears, that we may see, we may hear, we may see the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ clearly. Amen. Amen. We've been living in Cardiff for the last 6 years, and we particularly enjoy the parks, the green space in Cardiff. It's unbelievable, isn't it? I've got three small children. I'm married to Katie, and we've got three small children, and we love the park, especially Bute Park. Have you been to Bute Park? I'm sure you have. There are three fields, I'm told. So there's the Blackwire Fields, the Poncana Fields, and the Llandaff Fields, all within, a mile or half a mile radius. Amazing place. We love Bute Park. We love all these fields. They're all connected, but at the same time, different, aren't they? We don't say Llandaff Field is Poncana Fields. They're the same, in the same place, but slightly different. And in Psalm 23, that's what we see. It's one big psalm, but it's divided in three parts. It naturally breaks into three parts. In verse 1 to 3, we see God's providence. And in verse 4, we'll see God's protection. And in verse 5 and 6, we'll see God's promise. God's providence, God's protection, and God's promise. So let's look at the first one, God's providence. This is a psalm of David. How do we know? It says there in Psalm, just before verse 1, a psalm of David. And David wrote this psalm when he himself needed to be reminded that God is his shepherd. And you will know this maybe through Sunday school, that David himself used to be a shepherd. Do you remember the story? When Samuel came to find the new king, his father paraded his older sons. They are strong, handsome. And Samuel said, no, have you got any other son? He said, no, it's over there. He's young, he's ruddy, he's a shepherd. And God chooses David to be the next king of Israel. And here we see that David knows what it means to be a shepherd. He knows what it means to provide and protect his sheep from harm, what it means to rescue them, to fight lions and bears and wolves. And how appropriate that he looks up in Psalm 23 to God and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall not be in want. David relies and trusts this ultimate shepherd, God himself. There's nothing, David says, he needs if God is what he has. David relies on him so fully that he says, he shall not be in want. Now, people have twisted this verse and think that God will give us everything we desire. Well, not quite. God doesn't give us what we desire, but he gives us what we need. What I desire might be very different to what I actually need. You know, like someone said, God is our shepherd, not a shopkeeper. You know, a shopkeeper, easily, you give him £5 and you say, can I have that bread and the milk? You can buy whatever you want with the money you have. Sometimes we treat God like that. But a good reminder, David reminds himself, and we need to remind ourselves that God is our shepherd, not a shopkeeper. Verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside still waters. Imagine you are a sheep and it goes without saying. What is the best thing for the sheep? Not bread. I take in not some fizzy water. But what is best for the sheep? Green grass and fresh water. The shepherd provides for his sheep with green pastures and fresh water. They lack nothing. And Jesus himself says, doesn't he, in John chapter 10, that Ian just read for us previously. Jesus says, chapter 10, verse 11 of John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, lays down his life for us. If he did that for us, if he died for us, will he also not provide for us? He gave up his life for you and for me. Will he also not provide for us? He provides for us physically, doesn't he? The fact that you and I have clothes to wear when it's cold, that's God's gift, isn't it? Jesus taught us, didn't he, in the prayer, give us our daily bread. And he has. He knows what we need. He is our good shepherd. He restores our soul, verse 3. Do you see that in verse 3? He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. How does he restore our soul? Well, we see this again beautifully demonstrated at the cross. He died, he was beaten, he was mocked. In our place, he took the wrath and punishment that was on us, on himself. His death restores our soul. His death has brought us life. He has provided for us not just materially, physically, but also spiritually. He died for us. He restores our soul. He provides for us. He does all these things. God provides for us. Jesus provides for us. God provided for David. Jesus provides for you and I. Why? Is it because David deserves this? Is it because we deserve it? No. It is because God is a faithful God. End of verse 3. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The psalm is about God. This psalm is about God. It's a psalm of David, yes, but this psalm is about God. The good shepherd, his glory, God's glory is what matters. The glory of his name is what matters. He provides for us. And when he provides for us, who gets the glory? God does. He provides for us because his name is glorified through it. God is our, your, my provider. I wonder what is our greatest fear? I mean, not just as Christians, but for anyone in some ways. I guess the obvious one would be death, wouldn't it? Whether that's we're afraid of death, maybe for ourselves, or the fear of losing a loved one is something we all fear in one way or another. Maybe we have experienced that ourselves. And this brings us to our next point, God's protection. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, I don't need to tell you that the Christian life is not easy and comfortable, is it? Maybe some of you have been a Christian way longer than I have been, and you will know this, that it's not easy and comfortable. It's not a bed of roses. Far from it in some ways. In fact, Jesus said, didn't he, again and again, that because we follow him, we will face sufferings and pains and even death. We see this in the life of Jesus, his apostles, Paul, and all other fellow brothers and sisters who are being persecuted because they believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's far from being a bed of roses, not comfortable, not fun. Suffering and pain and death is part and parcel of living in a broken and sinful world. And David didn't have a peaceful time either. He was hunted by Saul because Saul was then the king. When Samuel said, David is going to be the new king, what do you think Saul's attitude would be? He wasn't going, yay. He was looking and hunting for David. He ran, David ran, he hid in caves, he lost his friends and family, and one of his own son rebelled against him, wanted to kill him. He wanted to take David's life. His best friend, Jonathan, died in a battle. David didn't have a rosy life. But here is the point. David found comfort and protection in God, in his good shepherd. He found comfort and protection in God because he knows that God is almighty and sovereign, that he is able to provide for him, able to protect him. And there is nothing that can thwart, destroy God's plans. And friends, sometimes God doesn't keep us away from suffering, does he? But he is with us in our suffering. You know, one of my favorite account in the Bible is, do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were told to bow down to the king. They said no. God could have saved them from the fire, but he didn't. He was with them in the fire. God sometimes allows suffering in our lives, pains in our lives. But he is with us in that. We read of men and women in the Old Testament and New Testament who went through lots of pain, sufferings, death, exile, and yet God was with them in all of this. Sometimes he allow us to go through the valley of death to show that what we think will bring us protection is actually nothing. It's him we need. Not our money, not our status, but God. It doesn't mean he has abandoned us, but rather he is refining us in some ways. But at the same time, He has rescued people and healed people miraculously. I mean, we see this again and again in the Old Testament and New Testament and in the church history. You know, he provides for his people. He protects his people, sometimes through natural means and sometimes through supernatural means. Think about this. Imagine I have a life-threatening illness. Okay, I have a life-threatening illness, and some of my Christian friends, they pray for me. They've been praying for me for the last 1 month, and suddenly, one day, my life-threatening illness is gone. It's gone. We would call that a miracle, wouldn't we? Yeah? But imagine, I have a life-threatening illness. My Christian friends are praying, yes. But at the same time, I have an appointment with the doctor, and the doctor says to me, you know, we're going to operate. And thankfully, the operation is successful. Is that less of a miracle? No. Who gave the doctors the ability and the talent? God did. God sometimes rescues and heals people miraculously, supernaturally, but sometimes he also used natural means to heal, restore people. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of darkest death, he is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Sometimes supernaturally, sometimes naturally. But God is with us. God is the healer. God provides for his people. God protects his people. And finally, we come to the last one, God's promise. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I hope you can see the change of language. David is in some ways fearful. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's like he's in trouble. But suddenly the language changes. Verse 5, do you see that? You prepare a table before. It's like he's in a dining room and he's in a buffet, isn't it? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Abundance. David was afraid and fearful. So he goes running to this great shepherd. And now we see David being invited into this table of abundance, to this feast. God prepares a table, a feast. God is the host, and David becomes the guest. Let me give you an example of where we see that clearly. In Jesus, we see this in Jesus again. We see this when Jesus dines with sinners, with tax collectors, the needy, the poor, the destitute. Not just physical poor, but those who are spiritually poor. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. We see Jesus inviting from people from different culture, people from different color, people from different class, inviting them to this feast. Because why? Because he is our good shepherd. He comes, Jesus invites people, come and eat of this living bread. I am the bread of life. Jesus says, come and drink of this life-giving water. He is the living bread. He is the living water. He is the good shepherd. We all need the good shepherd, whether we are old, young, have been Christian a long time, for a short time, whether we're a minister in a church or leaders in a church or members of this church, we all need the good shepherd. Sheep needs shepherd. And we're all sheep. We need our great shepherd. And God promises us goodness and mercy and life, not just life, eternal life. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God promises us eternal life, that we get to live with him forever. How amazing is that? Till then we wait, we persevere, be faithful. You know, when I've been away from home on a holiday, maybe for a few weeks or so, you know, there's nothing like coming home, isn't there? I just like my bed. It's just like different feel. You like your pillow, you know, the contours of it. It just lovely to come back home. As much as you enjoy your holiday, it's good to come back home. And that's what we see in this, that God wants to take us home with him. Because he is our good shepherd. He provides, he protects, he promises us life, to enjoy, to be with him. So here's the question for you and I then. Is God our shepherd? Or let me put it another way. Are we his sheep? Jesus says in John chapter 10 that we just read, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So in other words, who is Jesus' sheep? What do they do? Those who hear and listen to Jesus' voice. That's what Jesus said, doesn't he? In other words, those who listen and hear God's word. And Jesus says he knows them by name. There is fellowship. Jesus knows them. And the sheep knows their shepherd, Jesus. The opposite is also true. Jesus is not our shepherd if we don't listen to him. We don't listen to him when we don't listen to what he has to say to us through his word. We can't love Jesus without loving his words. You can't separate me from my words, can you? I am, in some ways, my words. You can't separate me and my words. So we can't separate God and his word. So Jesus is not our shepherd if he doesn't know us. Jesus is not my shepherd if he doesn't know me. Jesus is not my shepherd if I don't follow him. I might say with my mouth that Jesus is my shepherd, but if I don't live like a sheep, then I'm not his sheep, because Jesus doesn't know me. So what do sheep do? Of the sheep of this great shepherd, they listen. We listen to our shepherd's voice. We follow him. We love him. We trust him. The sheep follow the shepherd. So let me put it this way. God's providence, his protection, his promise of eternal life is for his sheep. And his sheep listens to his voice. They love him and follow him. And it's a great opportunity, isn't it? That's why Jesus invites people in. Come and be part of my sheep. Come and be part of my family. This invitation is free for you and me. The great shepherd invites us to be part of his family, to be his sheep. And he uses us to bring other people to him, to be part of his sheep, to be part of his family, to follow him, to love him. So if we claim to have Jesus as our great shepherd, are we listening to our shepherd's voice in his word? Does my words, does the things that I do, the things that I think about, do I follow my shepherd's voice, his words? Friends, God promises us to provide for us, to protect us, and to give us eternal life if we love and trust and obey our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, is our good shepherd. Father, thank you that while we were dead in our sins, Father, you called us, you pulled us out of darkness from the bondage of sin, darkness, and Satan into your son's family. Father, we don't deserve this, but thank you that your son, Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, has done this because he loves us. And Father, we ask you now that as we go back to our homes, Father, we ask you that you would help us, that we may continue to love our good shepherd, and that we would be sheep who will listen to him, will trust him, and obey him, and follow him. For your glory, amen. Amen. We will stand and sing our final hymn, The Lord's My Shepherd.